Now he came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Bartimaeus was a blind man. Here's a man, he's never seen a sunrise or a sunset. He's never seen a smile, never seen the beauty of God's creation. He lived in a world of darkness, and his name means son of the unclean. It wasn't bad enough that he was blind, but his very name means son of the unclean. Bar is son. Timaeus is the word for unclean, spoken of all throughout the Old Testament. Unclean, unclean, unclean. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Timaeus, unclean. That was his father's name, unclean. And here he is, son of the unclean. He's laying there, begging his whole life. He's not able to find a job. There's no social programs. There's no welfare programs to help him survive. He's forced to sit beside the road and to beg for his living. I remember a Jew that was unclean. You couldn't come near the people. Here he was begging, sitting in the corner. People having mercy on him, just flipping him a coin, not coming near him. Unclean, son of the unclean. The text says he was begging, and it means he constantly begged and asked those passing by to give him money. The plight of this man, Bartimaeus, though, he is a living example of every person who is not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the scripture says that every lost sinner is spiritually blind. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The condition of anyone outside of Christ is you are blind. You're blind. You may look at Bartimaeus and say, "Oh, it's so sad." Wasn't it so sad about Bartimaeus? But the scripture says if you were outside of Christ, you're in far worse condition than Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus had something wrong with his eyes. But the lost sinner has something wrong with his spiritual eyes. Turn to Romans 3, verses 10 to 11. Outside of Christ, this is what Paul says your condition is. In Romans 3, verse 10, he's wrapping it up in verses 1 and chapters 1 and 2 of Romans. He's showing the whole world is guilty. Be it a Jew, be it a religious Jew, be it a Gentile, be it a moralistic Gentile. He says, apart from Christ, you have no hope. And he says, this is the condition of all mankind. No matter what you would think, no matter what you would say about people with good hearts and seekers and everything else, this is what the scripture says. Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. None righteous. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all of us have turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. That's what Almighty God says. No matter what you would say, he got a good heart, she got a good heart. If you just got to get down a little deeper. Matter of fact, the scripture says the deeper you get down in that old wicked heart, the more wicked you find out that it is. So Bartimaeus, though he was blind physically, the spiritual blindness of those outside of Christ is far greater. For the lost sinner cannot see the horror of their sin. They cannot see the lost years. There's people here 40, 50, 60, 70 plus years. People cannot see the lost years, the wasted days, the ruined lives, the pain, the sorrow, and the sadness. They cannot see those outside of Christ that there is a hell, and that they're headed there. And they're headed there for death, destruction, and damnation. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 tells us this. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. The world thinks that everybody will be saved basically by death. You die, you go to heaven. You hear people talk all the time. Oh, they're in heaven now. They're doing this now. They're doing that now. The same wickedness they did here, they're doing in heaven now. Heaven by death. That's not what the Bible says. Are you amongst the blind here today? They cannot see the true condition of their heart. John chapter 3 tells us those outside of Christ, this is their true condition. Do not be deceived. Do not be fooled by those around you telling you it is well. God approves of you just as you are. John 3:18 tells us this, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. That's the words of Jesus Christ. He who does not believe is condemned already. Not going to be condemned, condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Same chapter, John 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. Do you see that? Do you see that that is your condition outside of Christ? Condemned already. And the wrath of God abiding on you. If you don't see that, your blindness is far greater than that of Bartimaeus. For outside of Christ, there is no beauty. Can you see the beauty of Christ? Can you see the loveliness of Christ? Can you see the glory of Christ? Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Not only are the lost blind, but realize this, just as Bartimaeus in the text is a beggar, outside of Christ, you may be able to pay your bills, and others may be able to obtain great wealth. You may not have to beg for money, food, clothing, and shelter. But in the spiritual sense, you're far worse than Bartimaeus. Because you're poverty-stricken. Poverty-stricken, you have nothing outside of Christ. Nothing. they cannot see the beauty of Christ. Bartimaeus was able to see the beauty of Christ. Outside of Christ, all of humanity is basically spiritual paupers. You have none. Bartimaeus had come to see that Jesus was the Messiah. As I said, you got to realize Bartimaeus, his name means son of the unclean. And you will never, ever see the beauty of Jesus Christ until you come to the place that you understand that Romans 3 verses 10 to 12 is absolutely true. If you think Bartimaeus was in bad shape outside of Christ, you have to realize none good, none seek after God, none who understand, there's none righteous. Until you realize that. See, Bartimaeus, he knew his condition. He laid his whole life up against a wall begging for money. His name, Bartimaeus, son of the unclean. His father's name, unclean. But yet, in the text, Bartimaeus had come to see that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Look what Bartimaeus says. Verse 47 of Mark 10. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He starts to cry out, Jesus, Yeshua, son of David, Bar David, Yeshua, Bar David, have mercy on me. The unclean one, begging his whole life, he calls him the son of David. He understood who Jesus Christ was. He understood the truth that most people of his day didn't comprehend. He knew the promise in Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah 61. Bartimaeus, the unclean one, knew the promise in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Here was the beggar up against the wall of his own life, son of the unclean one. All he knew was being unclean, being blind, having to beg. And here comes the son of David, Bar David, coming to console those who mourn, to give them beauty, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. For he knew he had no righteousness of his own. And do you know that truth, that in and of yourself, you have no righteousness of your own? Amen. Matter of fact, that same Isaiah says all of your works, not even your sin, all of your works are as filthy rags. He also knew what Isaiah 35 had to say. Blind Bartimaeus said, my day has finally come. There's hope for me and there's hope for you today. But you must see that in of yourself, you cannot save yourself. That apart from Christ, you are condemned. You are under the wrath of God. Isaiah 35. Verses 4 through 6, say to those who are fearful hearted. Are you fearful hearted? Are you puffed up? Are you prideful? Are you resting on your good works? Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Will it be vengeance? Or will it be salvation for you? Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Bartimaeus was like, yes, he's here. The Messiah, Son of David, is here. Jesus. Hallelujah. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Every child of God knows you were blind at one time. And he opened your eyes. You were deaf, you couldn't hear. And the Holy Spirit came and he regenerated you. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Bartimaeus knew. He knew who Christ was. And it says he cried out. Before a person can cry out for Christ, they must understand just who he is. And you must see that Jesus Christ is your only hope. There's hope in no one else, no other system, no other plan. There's one way of salvation. And that's Christ and Christ alone. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's no other name given among men whereby we should be saved. How can a lost man come to see? If you're sitting here today or listening online, and you know you're lost, the Holy Spirit right now is convicting you. You're feeling the weight of your sins. This word is piercing you through. It's digging around in your old stony heart. How can a lost man be saved? Turn to Ephesians 2. This is how every man or woman has to be saved. There's no exceptions to the rule. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 7. And you he made alive. Notice the condition of men and women apart from Christ. And you he made alive. If he made you alive, you were dead. Who were dead, what? In trespasses and sin, in which you once walked to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all of us, every child of God, walked this way. Some were greater sinners than others, but sinners nevertheless, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And notice, and were by nature children of wrath. That's the way you were born. You come out of your mama's womb as a child of wrath, just as the others. Oh, but two of the greatest words in the scripture. But God, who is rich in mercy, but you have to understand that you need mercy. Even as blind Bartimaeus, the son of the unclean one, cried out, have mercy. Even, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Not only his love, his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, notice, made us alive together with Christ. You have to be born again. You have to be born again. There's salvation nowhere else. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that for this reason, for this purpose, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And notice that in the ages to come. Don't think that this is it. Don't think you just live this life and that's it and that's a wrap. It's not a wrap. For it's appointed unto man once to die and then to judgment. And you will either stand in your own sin and wickedness before this twice holy God, or you will stand in the robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You're hearing the gospel straight up today. You're hearing the law straight up and the gospel straight up and the condition of men and women. Bartimaeus personally cries to Jesus Christ. Go back to Mark. Mark 10, 47. Have mercy on me. Verse 48. Have mercy on me. It's a personal thing. This is between you and Christ. You better settle your account one way or the other. Either you see the beauty of Christ or you perish. Bartimaeus cries, have mercy on me. He's seeking mercy. Do you want mercy? That's what you'll get. The great king is lifting up the scepter and saying, mercy. Will you have mercy, or will you try to approach me on your own merit? What will it be? Do you not see the beauty of Christ? Bartimaeus knew that he needed something that he could not provide. Perfect righteousness is what's demanded by Almighty God. Be ye perfect as your Father is in heaven. Perfect righteousness. Bartimaeus is crying out for what he needs. He can't provide it, and he certainly can't demand it. You can't demand it of Almighty God. What did the tax collector say? Seven words. Lord, have mercy upon me. And he signed it with his name. Sinner. It was addressed to God. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. Mercy. That's what Bartimaeus is crying out. When it comes to spiritual things, you don't have any rights. I don't care if you're an American. You don't have no rights. You can't demand on the sovereign king. He's the ruler of the universe. You're not casting your vote. He's telling you the conditions of peace. Just like the United States told Germany during World War II, this is the conditions. Then we told Japan, this is the conditions that must be met. And God Almighty says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's the condition. Where do you find yourself today? For it is mercy that brings salvation. Turn to Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness. What did you mean, Paul? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Mercy brings salvation. Bartimaeus is crying out to Christ. He's causing an uproar. And the people, what do they do? They want to silence him. They want to warn him to be quiet. Yet he cries out all the more. He was persistent. Some may today even be saying, preacher, that's too hard. Tone it down a little bit. Take it easy. You're like a madman up there. Relax. Take it easy. I can't. When I think of your soul perishing, when I think of hell for all eternity, and I know what the answer is, and I'm to be quiet, and I'm not to pour out my heart to you and beg or plead with you. Mark 10, 49 to 50, the people were telling Bartimaeus to be quiet. And realize this. We're getting ready to enter Passion Week with Christ. Christ is on his way to the cross. If you remember in the previous studies, he's on his way to the cross. They're going up to Jerusalem, making Aliyah, going up to Jerusalem. Yet he hears the cry. He hears the cry. Look at verse 49 of Mark 10. So Jesus stood still. And commanded him to be called. Here's the Savior going to die. To suffer the most intense pain known to men. To be forsaken of the Father. That was the greatest pain of all. And yet Christ, on the way to the cross, hears the cry, stops, takes the time for the unclean Bartimaeus. Full of mercy, full of grace, full of compassion. He stops. Stops for a man who has been ignored for most of his life. Commands the blind man to be brought to him. And notice what they say. Now after Christ commands, now to be a good cheer. Be a good cheer. Rise. He's calling you. And he's calling you today. He's calling you today. And if you're not saved, he's calling you to be saved. And if you are saved, he's calling you to see how beautiful that he really is. Because you will never understand the beauty of Christ. I'm talking now to the children of God. You will never, ever understand the beauty of Christ till you see the desperate plight that you were in. Many of you don't think of the beauty of Christ and the loveliness of Christ because you never saw yourself as a sinner, as an enemy of God, under the wrath of God, condemned. You never seen yourself in that light. And that's why Christ means very little to you. The scripture says the one that has been forgiven much, that is the one that loves much. And if you don't love much, it's because you don't understand how much you've been forgiven. I hear today so often, especially with believers, you talk about two or three sins of the world. You talk about abortion, you talk about homosexuality, you talk about lesbianism, but you don't talk about pride. You don't talk about money, the love of money. You don't talk about selfishness. You don't talk about hatred. Because you think, oh, I don't do those couple of sins. But read Romans 1 very closely where Paul lays out 21 sins. And notice one of those 21s, gossip. And we dip it in gall when you call somebody up. Let's pray for so-and-so. You have to understand your true condition apart from Christ and what he has saved you from. Christ stops. And notice what the man does. He throws aside his garment. He rose and he came to Christ. He got rid of anything that could have hindered him from coming to Christ. He threw it away. Bartimaeus comes. Christ says, what do you want me to do for you today? What do you want Christ to do for you today? Do you want him to save your soul? Do you want him to give you a greater love for him? Or when you hear that, do you go down your laundry list? Now give me a boat, give me a car, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a husband, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Or do you say, Lord, I want to know more of you. I want to be conformed to your image, Lord, more and more day by day. I want to stop being so selfish. I want to stop being so turned in on myself. Do you pray like that? Or is it give me, give me, give me, give me, give me? Bartimaeus responds in faith. And Christ says, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Mark 10:52. As I said, your faith has made you well. Immediately he receives, he begins to see. And notice, he never stops seeing. You know that little verse you see always at football games? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed would not perish but have everlasting life. You're faced with the issues of everlasting life here today. Will that everlasting life be in glory for the ages to come to glorify the grace of God? Or will eternity stay spent in hell suffering the justice, holiness, and righteousness of God? Will you cry out today, Lord, have mercy on me? He receives his sight and knows what it says. And immediately he received his sight and followed Christ on the road. It wasn't, I believe, he's my Savior, he's not my Lord. I laid my hand on the TV screen, said this prayer, and 20 years later, I'm no different than the day I laid my hand on that TV screen. For the scripture says, turn to 2 Corinthians 5, and wrapping this up. Somebody that's regenerated, this is what it's supposed to be. I didn't say you go to church, you sign the card, you're walking out. What I'm asking you is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5. Is this true? 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's what born again is. You've got to be a new creation. You were this way, now you're this way. A new creation. Old things have passed away. They're dead. Behold, all things have become new. Is that true with your life? You know that. You know if you're a new creation or not. I'll tell you a sure sign if you're a new creation. Do you love the people of God? Do you hang out with the people of God? Do you read the Word? Do you pray? Do you worship Jesus Christ now? Or are you still just all about yourself? Nothing's changed. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're reconciled to God, through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's what I'm doing up here. I'm an ambassador of reconciliation, begging with you, pleading with you, imploring you to be reconciled to Almighty God. And every child of God, you have the same ministry. Not necessarily in this venue, but in your family, on your job, in your neighborhood, to be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin. Jesus Christ wasn't some great teacher to lead you to God. He was the one that became sin, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. So that, for this reason, see that purpose clause there? So that we might become the righteousness of God. A child of God is viewed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God looks at my account and says, Bill Haas, I see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's all he sees. He doesn't see my wickedness. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to my account. And that's what he's seeing with Bartimaeus. And if you're a child of God, that's what he sees in your account. And if you've never come to Jesus Christ, today, the scripture says, is the day of salvation. You remember the last day of Christ's life. He was being crucified, and two thieves started the day, one on each side of him. And one continued to blaspheme and curse him all the day. And the other one said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, okay. You'll be in paradise with me. And that same Jesus Christ walks the earth today. He's pleading with an old skid from way back when. Right now pleading with you to be reconciled to Almighty God. Will you today cry out as blind Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Father, I would pray that that would be true of each and every one here today, each and every one our life. But I know one thing. There's nobody that's going to say, I didn't hear it. For the gospel is being presented. And Father, I would pray that today you would draw, you would save. And I would pray, Father, for the children of God, those that are saved, that they would get a greater glimpse of the beauty of Christ, the loveliness of Christ, and the mercy of Christ. And Father, we ask your blessing upon us. In the same Christ's precious name, amen.